Skip Heitzig points out one way that Christianity is unique among all the religious systems of the world.
This love in this verse is the kind of love that separates Christianity from every other religion. This principle is never found in any other religious systems, not Buddhism, not Taoism, certainly not in Islam. Now you may hear that and go, no, wait a minute. I've heard this saying in other philosophies and world religions. Sort of, yes. Sort of, yes. You've heard it perhaps, but only in the negative.
Make the connection at the foot of the cross. Study the Word of God and find the way into His love. And take the time to read, for Jesus took the time.
Sometimes it's just easier to leave a message. I'm sure there are times when you call someone to leave them a message and are disappointed that they answered the phone. In those moments, you almost feel like explaining you didn't actually call to talk, but just to leave a message. So could they hang up and not answer when you call back? Sometimes we treat God the same way. We don't really want to talk to Him. We just want to leave a message of our request and move on with our day. However, that's not how prayer works. And Skip Heitzig talks about the privilege of praying to a God who actually wants to talk with us today on The Connection. But before we begin, we wanted to remind you that when it comes to global evangelism, you can do more than just pray about it.
Psalm 34, 15 through 17. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. He delivers them from all their trouble. How would you feel about those words in the midst of trying to survive random brutality, starvation, and captivity? Would they bring comfort or bitterness? Two American missionaries had to face these unthinkable questions during a year-long nightmare in the jungles of the Philippines. This month, Global Connectors will discover how their amazing story ends in the book, In the Presence of My Enemies.
What I saw God do was get Martin and I's attention and start to teach us some very important life lessons. Lessons on trusting Him, on believing that He truly had everything under control because we could not control anything that was happening to us.
Join Global Connectors and help support missionaries all over the world, some who are risking their lives to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. When you become a Global Connector, we'll send you a special resource each month. With your support of $25 a month, you'll help The Connection continue to broadcast in places like Macedonia, Mongolia, and elsewhere around the world. Join Global Connectors today and hear how faith can overcome terror in the captivating New York Times bestseller, In the Presence of My Enemies. Call 1-800-922-1888 to get signed up today, or visit connectionradio.org.
When we pray, God wants us to do more than just leave a message, and we'll learn more about His desire to converse with us in today's study.
And make the connection.
If you'll open your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 7, we'll join Skip Heitzig as he continues our study on prayer.
By the way, this is one of the strongest scriptures in all of the Bible to show the depravity of man, that man by nature is evil and needs to be born again. The term evil, if you then being evil, paneros is the Greek word. It means evil by nature or having an evil condition. It's simply a description of all people of all times since the catastrophic fall of Adam in the garden years before. When Adam and Eve sinned, they released, let's call it a spiritual virus, into the bloodstream of humanity that is worse than the AIDS virus. This is pandemic. It's the SIN virus. It affects everyone. That's the nature of mankind. If you then, being evil by nature or condition, on this physical human plane can do that for your children, then let's compare the perfect, sinless Heavenly Father. And notice the term he uses, much more. You see that? If you can do that, if you can do that with your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Jesus liked that phrase, it seemed, when he was making a comparison. Go back to chapter 6 in verse 30. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So, here is the most selfless relationship among humans, that of a parent with a child. And this paternal relationship, when you compare that to the relationship you have with your Heavenly Father, this one here is much more in terms of love and graciousness. If God can clothe field grass, will he not much more clothe you? If fallen fathers can love and honor their children's request, much more will your Heavenly Father do it to you. Question. That's a great promise, but how do we know he will? How do we know he will? Now think about this. Because he has already met your greatest need ever, which is what? Forgiveness, salvation. If God has met your greatest need ever, which was salvation and forgiveness, the rest is chump change, folks. That's what Paul said. He said, you say Paul said chump change? No, but in so many words. In Romans 8, verse 32, Paul writes, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not then with him also freely give us all things? God is in the business of giving good gifts, all things to his children. Now, I will say, sometimes those good gifts are very well disguised. And we wonder when we get this gift, thanks a lot, God. That's a gift? You had to let me go through this? You love me? What is this? A son was graduating from college. His father was very well off. Son had been in a showroom when he saw a sports car, and he thought that would be a great graduation gift for my dad to get me for graduation coming up. And he told his father so. The day before graduation, Dad called Son into his study to give him his graduation present. It was a small, nicely wrapped box, and he handed it to his son. He said, I'm so proud of you. Son was curious at this gift and disappointed. He wanted the car. He opened the box, and it was a beautifully leather-bound Bible with his name inscribed in it, embossed. And the son looked at the Bible, looked at his dad, and he put the Bible down on the table, and he said, I can't believe it. With all the money you make, and I get a Bible for graduation. Thanks, Dad. Well, son left the house after graduating, became very successful, had his own family, didn't see his dad. As the years wore on and he heard his dad was ill, he thought, that little tinge of guilt, conviction, I better go home and see my dad before I never see him again. Just then he got a phone call. His dad had passed away. He died. And he left everything to his son. The boy went home to take care of the arrangements, and he was going through his dad's study, and he saw, still there, that brand new Bible, still in its box. And he opened it up, tears filled his face, and he opened it up, and the page was marked, and underlined was verse 11 for his son. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? As he was reading that, out from the back cover dropped a set of keys. It was that same dealership's name on it, and it was the keys to the sports car, saying the date, happy graduation, and the words, paid in full. It was a gift disguised as something else. And so God gives good gifts to those who ask Him. And we get a gift someday, and it might be a bill. It might be a disease. It might be a change of circumstances. It might be a trial. And we go, how could you, with all that you have? Father knows best. Now, I want you to look at verse 12. This is where this paragraph ends. This now is that final point, the purpose of answered prayer, and here it is. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Now, this verse is the Mount Everest. It's the pinnacle of the Sermon on the Mount. This is, without a doubt, the most famous thing Jesus ever said. People know about this verse. It's called the Golden Rule. Unfortunately, we have isolated this verse from its context. We have done disservice to this verse historically. We have placed it in little greeting cards, and it's on plaques, and we memorize it, and we cut it off from the context that it's in. There's a little word that we often leave out when we quote it. It's the first word. Look at it. Therefore. Now, we've gone through this before. Every time there's a therefore, find out what it's there for. So the fact that the sentence begins with a therefore shows it's not a new thought. It's a thought tied to the previous thought. And what's the previous thought? The previous thought is, you have a Father in heaven who graciously answers prayers. And just like a father to a child would extend that graciousness because of the love and trust and dependence, you have a heavenly Father that will give you whatever you ask for, whatever you need. Therefore, just like your Father would be good and gracious to you, you be good and gracious to them, to others. You see now, the purpose for answered prayers, and so that we can hoard up a bunch of blessings and go, my God's better than your God. But God's been so good to me, I have to be so good to you. That's the thought. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. God is the example of generosity. He's the model because He answers our prayers and cares for us. There was a naval officer. He had been in the Navy, and he had been overseas for about 2 years away from his family, his daughter and his wife. And he was coming home. And his wife decided that she would let her husband know the kind of prayers that the daughter had been praying. And so sent him a letter. And here was the child's prayer. Dear Lord, please send me a baby brother so we'll have something to surprise Daddy with when he gets home. Now, that certainly would have been quite a surprise to Daddy if he came home after 2 years and found a baby brother. And, of course, she didn't understand the ramifications of her prayer, but the underlying motive was pure. That is, God, please answer my prayer so that it would bless someone else. I want my daddy blessed. And that's the thought here. In Ephesians 5, Paul writes, be imitators of God as dearly loved children and live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Here's the point. You know it well. Like father, like son, or like father, like daughter. Reflect his nature. This love in this verse is the kind of love that separates Christianity from every other religion. This principle is never found in any other religious systems. Not Buddhism, not Taoism, certainly not in Islam. Now you may hear that and go, no, wait a minute. I've heard this saying in other philosophies and world religions. Sort of, yes. Sort of, yes. You've heard it perhaps, but only in the negative. This is what I mean. In the Talmud, in the Jewish book of principles and illustrations, Rabbi Hillel wrote, "What is hateful to you, don't do to anyone else." Here's what Confucius said, "Do not do to others what you don't wish done to you." This is what the Greeks Stoics said, "What you don't want done to you, don't do to anyone." And the Buddhist Hymn of Faith records, "Putting oneself in the place of others, kill not, nor cause to kill." So all of those statements that sound sort of like that are all in the negative. Here's Jesus. He puts it in the positive. He didn't say, don't do that. He says, do to others what you want them to do to you. You say, well, what's the difference? Huge difference. Huge difference. Let me illustrate in the field of music. Back in the 1600s, the chief instrument was the harpsichord. Harpsichord had a bunch of strings, sort of like a piano, and the note was pushed, and plectrums plucked the strings, made the vibrations like a guitar. Now, it was slow, it was cumbersome, the notes weren't always pure, it was very limiting. In the 1800s, or 18th century, late 1700s, somebody came up with a cool idea. Let's improvise. Let's take out the plectrums and put hammers in there. It'll be fast. That's called the piano. It changed music dramatically to take it from a harpsichord to a piano. So all these other religious systems are playing sort of the similar notes. Jesus came along and invented the piano. And it changed everything from that point on. To put it in the negative is self-preserving. It's self-oriented. It's utilitarian. Don't hurt me so I won't hurt you. But to go out of your way and show love because you have a God that shows love, that separates the men from the boys, the minor leagues from the big leagues. In 1 John chapter 3, whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. John knew that love must become not just a negative force. I don't kill anybody. Ooh. I haven't lied this week. Wow, you're amazing. I haven't raped, pillaged, or done anything like that. Wow, hey, what do you do? Love must be a positive force. There was a guy, he saw a gal, he wanted to win her heart, he thought of ways to do it, he was a little shy, so he wrote letters. He wrote a letter every week, but he never came by. Then he started writing a letter every day, but he never came by. 6 to 7 letters per week, but he never came by. Then he started upping the writing to 3 letters every 24 hours. That's a lot of mail, 700 letters altogether. But he never once came by. You know what happened? She ended up marrying the postman. He came by. Love has to come by. Love has to be incarnational. You do it in person. So this beautiful golden rule is tied to the previous because this is God's relationship to us. Therefore, do to others. So I was thinking about this week, and I was thinking that for Jesus to say this, because this also is a command, it's the present active imperative, as a lifestyle, this is my command to you, do continually to others what you want them to do to you. As I read this, I couldn't help but think in realizing that the disciples of Jesus Christ must have an enormous capacity to love. If Jesus would give us this kind of a commandment, it means that we can do it. He would empower us to do that. That the love that's been shown to us, we're receivers of it. We're now to be distributors of it. So just like, you know, Timmy learned about God and shirts, that God is generous, the big lesson is, I must too be generous. God doesn't need to be cajoled to answer prayers. Do you need to be bugged, pushed, prodded before you do good to others? Now, what I'm going to ask you to do is think and evaluate in your own mind, no elbow moving at this point to anyone else, and don't even think, I know someone who needs this tape, but think of your own life and think of your own generosity and love when it comes to the body of Christ, when it comes to friends, when it comes to, here's my hard part, driving especially the freeways. Think about your own love to other people when you're in the parking lot before church and after church. And then think about your own spouse to whom you made a commitment till death do us part. If prayer is the gymnasium of the soul, my prayer for us is that we'll be buff. We'll get a good workout. It'll show. And that kind of love, relationship, and generosity that we experience from our Father through that relationship of prayer would be worked out in our relationship with other people. That the way we love would reflect the way God loves us. I want to close with something that I thought was appropriate because it's personal. Dr. Richard Selzer is a surgeon. After an operation, this is what he writes. I stand by the bed where a young woman lies, her face post-operative, her mouth twisted in palsy, clownish. A tiny twig of the facial nerve, the one to the muscles of her mouth, has been severed. She will be this way from now on. The surgeon had followed with religious fervor the curve of her flesh. I promise you that. Nevertheless, to remove the tumor in her cheek, I had to cut that little nerve. Her young husband is in the room. He stands on the opposite side of the bed, and together they seem to dwell in the evening lamplight, isolated from me, private. Who are they? I ask myself. He and this wry mouth that I have made, who gaze at and touch each other so generously, so greedily. The young woman speaks. Will my mouth always be like this? She asks. Yes, I say, it will. It's because the nerve was cut. She nods and is silent. But the young man smiles. I like it, he says. It's kind of cute. All at once, I know who he is. I understand and I lower my gaze. One is not bold in an encounter with a God. Unmindful, he bends to kiss her crooked mouth, and I am so close, I can see how he twists his own lips to accommodate to hers and show her that their kiss still works. Isn't that lovely? That's lovely on any level. It's lovely on a level of a husband and wife. It's lovely on the level of a friend who would say, I accommodate my life because I wanted to help you. Because there's a therefore in that verse that says, if I have a God who doesn't deceive or play tricks on me, but he loves me and is committed to me, therefore, I'm going to do something for you to show you his love.
There's an old hymn that says, what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. If we only truly understood what a special privilege it is to pray to a God who cares about us and loves us so much that he answers those prayers. Hopefully you won't relegate prayer to something that you only do in dire circumstances, but on a daily basis, out of the love God has for you and your love for him. And that's all the time we have for today. But if you'd like a copy of today's teaching, call us at 1-800-922-1888 or visit connectionradio.org. When you contact us, be sure to ask about becoming a global connector. You can have a big impact on global evangelism, and you don't even have to leave your yard. Find out how you can be a part of a team that's sharing God's love to people all over the world when you call 1-800-922-1888 or by visiting connectionradio.org. And that's all the time we have for today. So here's Skip Heitzig with a closing prayer.
And so, Heavenly Father, we have seen this golden rule is not to stand as an isolated golden nugget, but it's tied to a greater vein of truth from which answered prayer flows from the throne of grace and touches us. Lord, we have been recipients of so many blessings that it's really impossible for us to keep counting them. Where we live, how we live, what we have, all of these things, the relationships in our lives, the way you've answered our prayers, causes us to depend wholeheartedly upon you, but to fall in love with you, then to reflect that love to others.
Next time, we'll take a short break from our current series as we sit down in studio with Skip Heitzig and his special guest, Lee Strobel. It's our first Friday interview, tomorrow here on The Connection. The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications.